The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
All right, welcome back to the show, the second half hour, second hour of the National Intel Report. We're guest host Jeremy from Kentucky filling in for John. We had a great first hour talking about immigration. Patrick called in. We did a little review of Fukushima meltdown, and we had some great callers. I was addressing in the last 5 minutes of the last hour, I was addressing the Steven Steinlight plan concerning the Jewish stake in immigration. And when we had a lot of technical interference, I was talking to Mike at the break. I'm not sure if you caught all of that, but I could hardly hear. So I don't know what was going on. I'm calling you from Skype on a $100 Samsung phone in Bumsnort, Kentucky. So things like that happen. If we get more interference, we're going to cut the feed, play a song for you, and try to reconnect. It's the best we can do. But what I was basically talking about was you know, we were discussing immigration in the intro in the first hour, and that has been a huge problem for America. And there was a Jewish man named Steven Steinlight, a researcher at the Center of Immigration Studies, CIS. And he wrote a paper in 2001, late fall. It was called The Jewish Stake in America's Changing Demography, Reconsidering a Misguided Immigration Policy. And in this paper, he addressed several things that are of interest to us, and he admitted several things that are of interest to we true American patriots who call out Jewish power. One of the points that he mentioned is that with aggressive third world immigration, that the support of Israel in America is going to be threatened. And what he was talking about was the very thing that we saw with the squad, you know, the squad in Congress that called out AIPAC as having led America and called out the Jewish lobby. So that's what Steinlight wanted to avoid, was third world Muslims coming into America, gaining a foothold and obtaining political platforms where they could criticize AIPAC and the Nation of Israel. And we saw that indeed happen with Omar, right? So that's one thing they wanted to avoid, was filling America with anti-Semitic third world Muslims, and filling America with even people south of the border, Central America, Guatemala, Mexico, who would not be loyal to Israel, who would not have white guilt about slavery and the Holocaust, and who they could not exploit. Steinlight, in his infinite wisdom, saw this as a huge issue for Jewish power in America. And his solution was, he appealed to his fellow tribesmen, and he said, look, I understand that for decades... And you got to read this paper, people. You really do. It's very fascinating what they openly admit, that basically, you know, the Jewish lobbies and Jewish power has pushed third world immigration into America for all this time. And he's like, we got to cut it out. We got to cool it with the immigration policies, because we're going to create a situation that's unsustainable. They love that word, right? Unsustainable. That's the word of the day. And he's not wrong. Steinlight was not wrong. They were going to create a situation that was unsustainable, and we're seeing it come to fruition right now, where America is full of third worlders that are not loyal to Israel, that do not share in the white European Christian Zionist point of view. And that was going to be a problem for Jewish power. So what this did with this split Jewish power into two factions, two major factions, those that supported mass immigration and those that wanted to slow it down. And the faction that wanted to slow it down was very, very small. I could probably name them for you and count them. I mean, Michael Savage Wiener, that's a very right-wing Jew that was against immigration, that was Steinleitian in nature. Now, Mark Levin, that's how he talked. Mark Levin he's always been anti-immigration to a point. He was anti-Trump at the beginning, and then he got on board. But I think Mark Levin is pretty much Steinleitian. He's that right-wing Jew that's for Second Amendment rights. He's against trannyism and all of the degeneracy, and he is for controlled immigration. Now, he is extreme controlled opposition. We got to acknowledge that. But Mark Levin is of that sliver of Jewish power that was of the Steinlight camp. Hey, people, we got a good thing going here. Let's not rock the boat. Let's not destroy the host. Let's trickle this immigration down and give us time to brainwash the new immigrants that come into America through civic nationalism, through the sense of American pride. And in doing so, they sneak in there. They sneak in there. Allegiance to Israel, Christian Zionism. So that was the purpose of the Steinlight plan, was to get a hold of the Jewish community, grab them by the collar, you know, grab their yarmulke and take it off and shake them around a little bit and say, hey, you're messing this up. You got to slow it down. You got to be reasonable about this thing, because we're going to lose the power that we have. And I would propose to you that even though I supported Donald Trump in both elections, I fought against the election hoax, but this sliver of Steinleitian Jewish power backed Trump, and they teamed up with the Chabad Lubavitch faction in Russia, of which Jared Kushner was a member of. And not only did they support Trump, but they worked to subvert Trump. And I think this will explain a lot of the anomalies that we saw in the Trump presidency, some of the decisions that he made that just weren't quite right. You know, the man probably was legit. He's a 1980s Democrat that just wanted to see the great country that he made money in do well. But he had a lot of hooks in him, a lot of Jewish hooks. And he owed them a lot of money. And when the time came for him to take power, they called in their chips. They called in their loans. And he made some decisions that weren't pleasing to us. So I think this explains, I hope that I explained it in a rational, concise way, presenting the data. You know, that Trump was supported by this faction of Steinleitian Jewish power. And this faction, by the way, was soundly defeated just a few months ago. And now we have the all or nothing Jews that want to just flood this country, and they don't care if they destroy this country. They're just going to go all out, all or nothing. That's the situation we see ourselves in now. And I think that concludes our commentary on immigration. and Jewish Power, and I have many, many more headlines to move to, but I do want to take some calls because this is about you calling in and telling us your point of view. We have Henry from Connecticut. Henry, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Jeremy. Well, one of the things is this is I think with some older Jews, knowing the fact that I came out of New York, I myself am not Jewish. I'm non-Jewish German extraction, but I came out of a place like New York, not deep in Manhattan, but I'm in New York City. I left there many, many, many years ago, like well over, almost 2 decades. About a decade ago, a little more than a decade ago. I can see why some of that stuff had happened, what's going on with certain things, because some of them are so, not to say all, but some are so freaking greedy, son of a bitches, that, you know, I hear some stuff up here even, but it's not as much up here. This is mainly a Catholic state, when you're talking about Connecticut, but, you know, they don't want to pay nobody. So, you know, for a decent wage now, I'm saying. As a matter of fact, even that guy, Hoff, who had the thing in Nevada, the, what is it, the escort hooker thing in Nevada, legally, I think he had them working 12 hours a day and something, whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're so freaking greedy. And so I guess what the other thing is, they just want, some of them want this constant influx of all this third world, non-white, non-European, lower educated workers so they can stick up in the ass all the American workers, so they don't have to, you know, they don't have to hire you and me and pay, you know, even 14 an hour, even if they can afford 16 or 19 an hour, but they'll say pay you 14 or 15, they can hire Mexicans and have them do it for 11 or 10 or 7. There's a lot of that, too. The other thing is that they don't really care. Some of them do, yeah, that's true, because you're going to have people coming in here that are, you know, you see the mistake they made in France. I mean, they control certain parts of France, but, you know, they sort of blanked themselves in France in a way because they pumped in all that Muslim stuff, although France is still predominantly white French, but, you know, it had to do with the wars over there between Israel and Syria and, you know, those countries in the Middle East. But since France has been pumping in, well, they want to split into it, that immigration, you know, we saw the burning and the riot and all that, which I would never think could even happen in France. That's what happens when you bring all these people from all these cultures. I mean, I think, you know, you owe them and all that. But the thing is, they're pumping in people that I'm going to be sympathetic with the Holocaust at all, though a lot of French aren't, white French aren't either. But I'm saying a lot of these Muslims certainly aren't, and even hate them outright before even when they even set foot in the country. So they're kind of, in a way, effing themselves, meaning the Jews, in the ass, in a way, with that. So, because they're bringing in people that, you know, aren't going to be in the least bit empathetic to either what happened in World War II or anything else. So, but over here, I could tell you, see, in France, they can't pay too cheap away. Some of those European countries can't have too much illegal immigration, okay, because it would mess up the whole thing with the national healthcare medical thing and stuff like that. So they can't, you know, even Angela Merkel, a traitor as she is, and she got the Calgary Award or whatever that is, you know, to try to mongrelize Germany. She even said it was a failure. Even she doesn't want illegal immigration in Germany. She said that. I don't know about now, but this was many years ago. She did say that because it would mess up the whole thing with the taxes and all that. But over here, I mean, I see part of the thing going on. If they could have all this consistent influx of all this low-wage, anything work, the struggle for anything, and have the American people very desperate for any freaking job and all that, and to push that so they could have this constant suppressing of wages and constant influx of all this cheap labor. And, of course, they don't care about the country or culture. The thing is, we got to stop it. And I would say this. There's a bill out there. I think we were talking about this before. And this guy Tom out there from Florida, if you're listening, I hope you got the number. I think people should call the switchboard. I'm going to call them again tomorrow. And the number is 202-224-3121. That's the Capitol Hill. That's the House and the Senate. And switch over to your congressman and senator. Again, the number is 202-224-3121. 224-3121. 3121 224 area code 202 and tell them not to pass, that you're a voter and you're a citizen, and you do not want them to pass H.R. 1177. That's the immigration amnesty bill. And there's an anti-gun bill, too, which is 127, which is totally violates the Constitution. And also the voting bill that they have. They got about four pieces of garbage out there coming out of Congress's rat hole, I should say. There's another bill called Proposition 1 or H.R. or H.B. 1 that deals with the voting. And that's totally constitutional, because what that is that you don't need ID, you don't need to verify signature or nothing. See, they plan this, I don't know, what do I say? They plan this stuff always a couple of years in advance. So, I mean, they weren't counting on whether Trump would, you know, they probably plan the hijacking with Trump, too, because we just got to get... I heard Biden 2 years ago. He was saying, you don't know how important it is to get this man out of office. You know, I heard him say that. Yep. So he planned some of this stuff. And this is what it is. They want to run these bills through the Congress. They hijacked the election the way they did with fraud, with election fraud, totally. Open the borders like ancient Rome, so you could turn the first world Western, predominantly Western European country, into a third world Brazil of the North. That's what that caller said on Bob Grant, you know, back in 1990. His name was Neil, by the way. So this is all planned. So then you have criminals coming in. And it's, by the way, it's not just going to be all this Latin American stuff. They want to bring in... They're going to have people coming. You know, we got to stop it. I think it will be stopped. But they want to have people. They're going to have people coming here from Africa. And I mean, in parts of Africa, you don't, damn it, you don't want in this country. And yet, you know, a beautiful girl from Ireland or the Netherlands or Germany or a guy, too, they can't even come in here. You know, everything is so... All right, hold on.
How about the Dutch farmers in South Africa that are being... taking their land taken.
Yeah, I was going to get to that. Yeah. I was going to get to that. They went war. Yeah, they can't even. Yeah, that's the thing too. I don't know. I would have ships. It'd be good if we had ships or planes and bring them in. And for everyone we deport of all this, I think we got about 35 or 40 illegal Hispanics in the country from a lot of different countries, and it's not just Mexico. We should really make an exchange and send all of them back. And, well, you don't have that as many Boers. I know that. It's like 700,000 or whatever. And bring them over here as long as they'll be loyal to America, you know, and not, you know, South Africa.
I talked to one of the Boer farmers. I talked to one of them online, and he's got an engineering degree, you know, and he's living in a tent over there. He can't, because he's taking his job.
That's great. Like that. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know,
see, that's how smart we are. See, you know, I have to say there's some great things about this country, but I really have to say, I know it's under tyranny, I know we're under treason. It's been that way since 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. But I have to say, compared to some of the Central and Northern Europeans, Americans are really stupid. I mean, collectively, they really are, because a lot of things I see, you know, that, like, look at the thing that happened in Denmark. All right, this is a smaller country. The small countries are better in terms of uniting the people. But they push the vaccine, and they shut the country down after a week.
We're on the break.
I'm going to go. You want me to go? You want me to go?
We're on the break.
Yeah,
we got to go. We're on the break, but all your points are very valid. Thanks for the call, and we're on the break. We'll be back on the side.
Got Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's all right because we're back on the National Intel Report with your guest host Jeremy from Kentucky, taking your calls live for your afternoon drive. We got Dave from Michigan. Dave, what's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, Jeremy. Thanks for filling in for John. So tonight is our national-assembly.net conference call, nationwide conference call. I've called you before. I don't see any way out of this. I don't even know what the right word to call these creatures in Washington D.C. and our states. You know, I've listened to Patrick. I know he doesn't believe that they've been incorporated, but if you go to Dun and Bradstreet, you can look up the DUNS number for the federal government, for every state in this union, for every city, township, village. They're all incorporated. The police departments, the sheriffs, they are all incorporated. They are all for business. It's a business for profit. And where do you think they're going to get their profit from? Right out of our asses. And the only way we can stop this is just like our forefathers. We must assemble. We have to do the work of we the people. If you don't like what your government is doing, look in the mirror, people. I'm not talking to you so much, Jeremy. I'm talking to the listeners. We have been reaching out to get people involved. You know, people don't like what's going on, but what are they doing about it? Calling their congressman? Are you kidding me? These people aren't listening to us. Look what they did. They literally designed this whole election to steal our republic. The republic was gone already, but, you know, the republic is still there. Don't get me wrong. In 1871, they vacated the de jure government, and they formed these corporations. And, you know, in 1933, when they designed this thing about the birth certificates, you're born in the birth canal, you know, everything is maritime admiralty law. It's the law of the land, not the law of it's the law of the sea, right? The Constitution was supposed to be the law of the land. We had that for a short time. But then, Britain and its cronies had been digging deeper and deeper. I heard a really great clip from the John Moore show in the morning. He plays, I can't think of the guy's name. The guy from Britain, the old prime minister back during World War II. You know what I'm talking about, Jeremy? What the heck's his name?
I can't think of his name.
Anyway, he says, we will fight in the fields. He says, we will fight in the fields. We will fight in the streets. We'll fight in the beaches. You know, and if we fall, if England should fall, our United States, the new world, he says, the new world will save us with all its power and might. The new world. I always, you know, my buddy told me about the new world order in 1982. And told me all about the Illuminati and the dollar bill and all that stuff. And I was like, wow, my wife and I had just gotten married. We're looking at each other, looking at this guy who was in the Navy in San Diego, and he learned a lot of stuff out there. And we're like, we freaked out. We never said another word until George H.W. Bush gave his New World Order speech on 9/11 of 1990, 9/11. My daughter was born April 1st, 1991. And I'm like, when he made that speech, and I was like, oh, my God, it's all real, you know. And then I started digging and learning. And I'm telling you, the only way we can beat these people without violence, because once we, the people, take our rightful, lawful places in this country, in our states, in our nation states, these guys will be meaningless. The military doesn't want to work for these criminals. They want to work for the people. And I do believe that we, the people, can do this and have our military on our side, and these people will be a thing of the past. It'll be a great story to pass down from generation to generation. But so tonight, national-assembly.net, that's the website. It's not mine. I'm just a member. I'm assemblyman in Michigan. We have our own assembly here in Michigan. All the states. We got people on the phone now, Jeremy, from Kentucky. We got Tennessee forming. We didn't have these guys for a long time. We got Georgia. We got some eastern seaboard states are coming on board now. A couple of weeks ago, we had about 28 states. At our peak, we had 36. We had, you know, infiltrators. They're always going to be there, okay? But we cannot be afraid. We have to be, you know, bravery is looking fear in doing what you need to do in the face of fear. Even if you're afraid, you still got to do what you got to do. You want to save this country for our prodigy. There will be no country if we don't become we the people again. Thank you, Jeremy. Can I give out the phone number real quick at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, national-assembly.net, 712-770-4160, PIN 226-823-pound, 226-823. You got that number written down? You can give it after the next break.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Visit our website, and we are up on the break,
by going to republicbroadcasting.org. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Right. Wow. Guys, I'm totally digging the 80s tracks tonight. Kenny Loggins, Highway to the Danger Zone. Man, bringing back some memories of junior high. Yeah, I'm that young. But I wanted to give out the number that Dave was talking about to the NationalAssembly.net, just in case the communications were garbled there. The number is 712-770-4160. Your PIN number is 226823. It's NationalAssembly.net that Dave from Michigan was talking about. I want to address just real quickly some of the topics that Dave brought up, as well as Patrick's stance on the Corporation of America. I see truth in both sides, okay? That America is a corporation, and they've got us. There's no getting out of it. And I see truth in Patrick's side that says that, that maybe minimalizes that and says, well, it doesn't matter, because if you're drawn into the court for some crime that you're prosecuted for, if you just say, well, I'm not an American citizen. I'm a natural, you know, born animal of America. I mean, that's not going to get you out of it. Here's the thing. Let me put it to you in a very practical explanation. I have many friends that are Amish, like hardcore, like live off the land Amish. And there's many different variations in the Amish. There's some Amish that ride their horse and buggies, and they go to Walmart and the dollar store, and they clog up traffic on the roads that they ride their horse and buggies on. And there's some Amish that live strictly off the land. They're hardcore, they're old school. And some of these Amish that are hardcore, that don't go out shopping, they don't have social security numbers. They have no need for them. They have physicians internally. They have midwives for children. And very rarely do they need to seek any help outside of their communities. Now, where I'm going with this is this. If you have a social security number, you're probably incorporated into being corporate America, because you can't function without it. Think about it. What can you do? What can you not do if you don't have a social security number? You can't do anything. You can't even have credit. You know, you're going to have to operate off cash. Any physician that you visit is going to require that number. So the only way to break away from that corporate system that is described, let's say that I have a child. Let's just say that I move amongst the Amish, which is one of my fantasies, and I'll probably do it soon. But that's beyond the book. Let's say that I do that, and I have a child, and he's born through the midwives, and he doesn't have a social security number. He's out of the system. He's not in the corporate system. He's not under the yoke of slavery. And you know what else? He doesn't have access to the most advanced American medical treatment. He doesn't have access to insurance. He doesn't have access to public schools. That's fine. I can school him myself. I'm very educated. I have a degree in history. But, you know, he's not going to get the things that the other children get in this country. So that's the trade-off. Sure, you can break away from corporate America, but that's the way to do it, is to just not be a part of the system, period. And even if you do have a social security number in the system, just break away from it. And you got to be willing to do that. So I see both sides of the argument. I definitely do. And I'm not marginalizing or minimizing or mocking one side or the other. I'm just telling you that, you know, if you want to function in society and have access to the wonderful inventions of, you know, European Americans, you got to be part of that. You got to have a social security number and participate in the system, period. If you want to have good dental work and great medical care and all of that. But if you're just going to live out in the middle of nowhere and, you know, go see the family doctor who may or may not have a license and a degree, you know what I mean? Then you can break away from corporate America. That's the way that I see that. Maybe it's a little simplified, but I think it's very logical and rational. Let's get on with some more headlines. By the way, we do have room for just a caller or two if you want to call in. 512-248-8252. We are in the middle of a militarized America, and this is an article from The Guardian. TheGuardian.com. Minneapolis promised change after George Floyd, but instead, it geared up for war. And this is from the writer Aiken Ola. The trial of Derek Chauvin, the officer who killed George Floyd, has begun, and Minneapolis looks like a police state. The George Floyd uprising that began in Minneapolis introduced the demand of defunding the police to the general public. Empowered black-led anti-police violence movements across the planet generated policy changes in cities across the U.S., and most importantly, built new organizations which have the capacity to fight for systematic change for the long haul. The uprising brought a lot of reforms and positive developments to its birth city, too, including a move to actually defund the Minneapolis Police Department and redistribute funds to services with a larger potential for eradicating both crime and poverty. Now, however, the Minneapolis and Minnesota governments are in the process of undoing that progress, and they are moving in the opposite direction. The trial of Derek Chauvin, the officer who publicly killed 46-year-old George Floyd, and inadvertently triggered what may have been the largest protest movement in U.S. history, began this week, meaning the trial began this week. Instead of becoming more transparent and committed to undoing the anti-black image that it has cultivated, the city of Minneapolis has quickly transformed itself into a 21st century police state, pushing even beyond the hyper-militarization and violence that already plagued police departments across the U.S. For a while, it seemed that Minneapolis was headed on a better path. A veto-proof majority of city council members previously promised to dismantle the police department and build something better to replace it. Their attempts were dashed by the Minneapolis Charter Commission that shut down a ballot initiative that would have given voters the chance to abolish the police department in favor of a proposed department of community safe and violence prevention. This winter, the summer's ambitions have been replaced by a renewed commitment to the status quo. The police budget was cut by a mere $8 million out of a total budget of $179 million, and a proposal to modestly reduce the size of the police force was shot down by city council members and by Mayor Jacob Frey. Read that, Jacob Frey in anyway, who would be more useful to the world as a Justin Trudeau impersonator than an elected official? While the cut is a step in towards disincentivizing police, it pales in comparison to the city council's more genuinely radical rhetoric. Translation: they tried to cut the presence of law enforcement, but the crime there was so prevalent that not only did they need more law enforcement, but they needed the military to come and intervene in the city. The cognitive dissonance is indeed staggering. Let's go to our next caller, Ken from New York. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Ken.
Good show. Very good show.
Thanks
a
lot.
I just have 2 points to make about the Social Security number. I had read at one time that the only reason a doctor collects a Social Security number is so they can come after you if you don't pay the bill. Now, I tried this more than once. I tried it in the hospital, and I've tried it in the doctor's office. When they ask me for a Social Security number, I just say, nope, you don't get that, and they don't say anything.
That's interesting. You pay your bill, though. You pay your bill, right?
Well, yeah, I have insurance. I pay my bill, but they don't really have the right to demand it. You see, the whole point is if they most people are conditioned that if they ask you for something, you just give it to them. That's always a mistake if you don't know the particular rules on a particular subject.
I appreciate your point, but my question is, can you get insurance without a Social Security number?
I don't know the answer to that, but I'm wondering, I think Ralph Winterode might. Now, he says that when he changed his status, he still gets his Social Security check, and in fact, they stopped taking the 15% tax out on it.
Well, my point that I was making was this. You can live outside of corporate America, but you got to live pretty much off the land and not partake in the not partake in any benefits at all. Because without that number, you're not going to be able to function. Because I don't think
I agree. There are some. Like every rule, there's probably some exceptions to the rules. And yes, it would be difficult if you've grown up your whole life living with it. The problem I would have, and I plan on doing this when he gets around to it, is changing the status business, is I still have a mortgage, and I don't know if that's a problem, and I still have to have a bank account. But there, from what I understand, there are different types of bank accounts that can be used. I think Lauren from Ohio has mentioned that several times.
I see the truth in both sides of the arguments. I was just advocating a little bit for Patrick's side when I said that if you have a Social Security number and you're participating in the system, I mean, you're in the system. I mean, unless you're just going to live off the land and use natural herbs that you grow, there's no getting out of the system. They've got us. They've got us. That's the
point. Right. Yeah, but, not likely about living off the land and the herbs.
Which I would love to do. But there are, I don't want to paint a black picture, there are resistance, options here. And that is getting in with your local municipalities and county seats and pushing back against this, pushing back against it. So there is a resistance to this. We don't have to just roll over and give up. So
fortunately, we have this is Suffolk County in eastern Long Island. We have a sheriff that told Andrew Cuomo where to get off as far as, health orders as opposed to law.
Yeah.
He just said he wouldn't enforce any of them.
Good for him, and none of the cops are enforcing anything in West Kentucky. Andy Beshear is a Democrat governor in a very red Trump Republican state, and people are defying him every day, and the cops
and the cops, even the police here don't want to get involved with it. I think they know better. They know that, something bad's going to happen.
The republic is dead in the sense of the federal government, but in the sense of the people and the real Americans, it's very much alive and it's fighting back. So I feel good about that.
I think you're right. People are just starting to ignore. The feds really don't have any business being in your county if the sheriff doesn't let them in. And I think all of these cases where you have these raids and SWAT teams, I think it's because you have a bad sheriff that doesn't do anything.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, Ken. Go ahead. We've got a few minutes.
What I understand, in Connecticut, they don't have any sheriffs. They voted them out a long time ago. I'm quite sure they don't have any, but that's the next state above us, and then...
Okay, that's interesting.
I don't know how. I'm sorry.
No, I said that's very interesting. I didn't know that. But sheriffs being locally elected, they're really more representative of the people. I mean, I don't know how Connecticut works. I've never heard that.
state police, from what I understand.
Ooh, that's not good. Yeah, your local sheriff. No, your local sheriff is your best bet. Elected by the people and more likely to bring true justice than, you know, the controlled police of the city. But yeah, man, I appreciate it, Ken. You got anything else for us? Before we
no,
go?
No. Good night. No, thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot, Ken. We appreciate your call. And we are coming down to the last break of the National Intel Report. On the other side, we'll cover probably one more article. And I think we got through all of our callers for tonight. So we appreciate you guys that called in. And we'll probably cover when we get back. When we get back, we covered Militarized America, the Journal of American Medical Association, and the response to AIDS in comparison to the response to COVID on the other side.
You have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of trading that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range. Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town.
All right, welcome back to the show. We're in the last segment of the National Intel Report. Your guest host, Jeremy from Kentucky, just finishing up on the headlines. Second person in a row. This is from the Stormer. Who quotes the Daily Mail. Second person in a row naturally cures supposed HIV infection. And the question is HIV even real? The first person known to naturally cure their HIV was found last August. Now the second one has been found. In both cases, they have never taken any drug to fight the alleged virus. From the Daily Mail, the second known person to naturally cure their HIV infection has been discovered by scientists in Argentina, raising the hopes for a future cure. The Argentinian woman, in her 30s, from the city of Esperanza, was found to have no disease-causing or intact virus 8 years after having been diagnosed. A group of Harvard-based scientists announced the discovery yesterday at a major international meeting of HIV experts, known only as the Esperanza patient. She is the second person to be found to have no intact virus. The first, Lauren Willenberg, 67, from San Francisco, was found in August. Let me make a little commentary on this. The supposed AIDS epidemic of the early 80s was a hoax. What you had going on was homosexuals and junkies were spreading this disease through anal sex and sharing needles. The vile and very sadistic act of anal sex tears the inside of the rectum. Thus, when you eliminate waste, you get infections. Gross as it may be, I mean, that's the truth. Vaginal intercourse rarely spreads this disease. And in 1982, as a matter of fact, the New York Times published an article entitled "The New Homosexual Disorder Worries Health Officials," published in May 11th of 1982 by Lawrence K. Altman. This is a digitized version of an article from the Times Print Archive. Okay? You can pull this up online. Starting with the article, a serious disorder of the immune system that has been known to doctors for less than a year. A disorder that appears to affect primarily male homosexuals afflicted at least 335 people, of whom it has killed 136, according to the officials of the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta. Here's the point. The AIDS epidemic was pushed by Fauci. It was a hoax, and it was a way to get money from the pharmaceutical industries to treat this supposed disease, when all they had to do was say, quit doing anal sex and quit doing needles. Similarly, the corona hoax is promoted by Fauci and by the global government to push an agenda. That's not only money for the pharmaceuticals and the oligarchs, but it's also to bring us into a new globalization. That's the comparison I wanted to make. You can look at it yourselves. Thanks for listening tonight. Glad to be your guest host. Tune into my show called In Plain Sight tonight at 9 p.m. Central on RBN. Have a great night.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.